Greetings to everyone. Happy Sabbath. Let us humble our hearts and minds to Almighty Father Yahweh. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you thanks once again for bringing us together to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for the beautiful music that we just heard that edified the brothers. And we pray that it be a smile on your face, Father Yahweh. We thank you for all the gifts that you give us. Thank you for all the things that you've done for us throughout the week and for keeping us safe. We say a special prayer for those that are in need, Father Yahweh, whatever situation may be ailing the brothers and sisters that are crying out. We pray that you be with them and comfort them. And we pray for all your servants all around the world striving to keep your Sabbath and keep your truth, Father Yahweh. We know these are hard times, and we have things going around that are not good. So we pray, Father Yahweh, that you help us to stand strong in your word and help us to prepare for your coming feast, Father Yahweh. We thank you for allowing us also to see the new moon this past week. So just be with us, guide us, bless your message, Father Yahweh, bless the speaking and also the listening. May your words reach our hearts, Father Yahweh, so that we may share them with others. For all these things we ask, Father Yahweh, and we give you thanks for all these things through your precious Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Well, greetings to everyone once again, those that are joining us online, those that will be watching this later on video. I had here about 5 more weeks until the Feast of Tabernacles, but whether 5 or 6 is coming close. And so, as we heard last week in Deacon Randy's message, he was speaking about the Galatians, how in former times they kept pagan days. You know, a lot of these people didn't know what they were doing. But either way it goes, as we keep the Feast of Tabernacles and Yahweh's feast, the world is also keeping their festivals. So we hope and pray that Yahweh uses us to reach others, you know, so that they can understand, so they can see his truth. So once again, happy Sabbath. And last time when I was on, a brother in the, or actually a co-worker at the job, saw the sermon, and he says that I'm not camera friendly enough. So I had to work on that. It's always good to get the constructive criticism, because then it helps you to get better at what you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing. It's always good. Sometimes, a lot of us, we like to criticize ourselves. We like to judge ourselves, our performance. And so that keeps us honest, you know, so that we can keep doing better. So have you ever wondered what an awesome responsibility Yahweh gives his people? You know, as we heard the specials, you know, they were being saying, you know, to a lot of us, you know, it's not a big thing. We just sit back and we listen. But the brothers and sisters, you know, they have a talent. They have a gift for music, and so they're using it. And, you know, we just sit back and we enjoy that. But for them, especially in the beginning, you know, they have to take time. They have to practice at this. And one of the questions that was asked is, you know, where's the talents in the assemblies? Where's the gifts? Because I think some people look at it as miracles. You know, we're supposed to see all these great things, you know, that we never seen before. But if you look closely, you'll notice that people are using their talents. But another question is, you know, you have some that they don't know what their talent is. They don't know what gifts they have. And so you have others that they have discerning spirit. You know, we watch each other. We say, hey, you know, I think you're good at this. You know, and of course, sometimes we might say, no, I'm not that great, you know. And so this is a good thing that we have in the body of Messiah. We have some that recognize others, you know, and they recognize their talents. Let's look at a couple of scriptures real quick as I get more into this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 17, It says here, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of Yahweh. And if he begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the evangel of Yahweh? So we see here that the judgment is going to begin at the house of Yahweh. You know, and why is this? Well, because we've been given a commission. We've been given certain truth. We've been given gifts and talents to use to edify the brothers and sisters. But the statement, you know, that says here, we're talking about, you know, the law of Yahweh, keeping the law of Yahweh. You know, sometimes you might know a lot of things, but it might be hard for you to share them with others because of the way that we express ourselves, or because when we tell people certain things, it goes over their head. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to have patience. And so also, you know, when we see the things that are going on in our world, as we keep Yahweh's festivals, we see the great things that are happening with Yahweh's people. A lot of people, you know, they're repenting, they're coming to Yahweh. You know, people in the world, they're kind of blind to what's going on. And, you know, they see things that are happening and they just go about their business. You know, for us, it makes us sad, you know. And so we try to share Yahweh's truth. For us, sharing Yahweh's truth is a joy that comes along with that. You know, and us, it took us time, you know, to learn these things. You know, they just didn't happen overnight. So let's go to another scripture, which actually tells us that in Luke, let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 48. We know some people, they're blessed in many, many ways. Some people, they might be blessed financially. You know, others, they may have, you know, more than one gift. And this here is basically talking about a servant, you know, that if they don't know, they're not going to get as many whippings as somebody that knows. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says here, but to the one who did not know and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive a few. But it says here, and from everyone who has been given much shall much be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask the more. And so sometimes, you know, I keep saying this, but I have a hard time sometimes, you know, coming up with a subject to bless the brothers and sisters with, because when they call on me, you know, I have to step up to the plate. I have to deliver. You know, I have to depend on Yahweh to give words to speak so that when we come to services, you know, we're edified, because usually the main message, that's like the main course, you know, and we want to be filled. We want to be filled with Yahweh's Spirit. And so it says here that if you have many talents, if you have many things, that, you know, the more is going to be required of you. And so this is one thing that someone came to me and spoke to me, you know, about the talents. You know, I heard this question before. I didn't know how to approach it, how to go about it, you know, how to speak to this one or that one. And so I'm hoping that Yahweh's word will enlighten us, you know, it'll help us. Because as we see the board back there, sometimes it might be empty and we need a lot of help. You know, we come here, we eat, then we leave, you know, and the place has to be cleaned up, you know, and Robert is usually here, you know, but he keeps himself busy. So sometimes, you know, we need extra help, and, you know, we all try our best, you know, to do what we can. But as we'll see in the word, you know, there's a lot of things that Yahweh expects of us. And if we go through the Old Testament and we see a lot of things that, you know, a lot of us haven't even considered, or that we might be able to be keeping them right now, we're lacking in a lot of things. You know, as one brother prays, he usually says, you know, we always ask Yahweh for so much, but yeah, when it comes to giving him, you know, to give him back to him, we give him so little. I mean, compared to what he gives us. So let's go over to Matthew. We'll read there. In the last chapter, Matthew 28, this is Yahshua speaking to the disciples here. It's called the Great Commission, and we know that the apostles had a tough task. You know, they weren't many disciples, but, you know, you had a lot of people that were hungry for the word. You had a lot of people that were turning to Yahweh because they saw the miracles that Yeshua did. They saw the power that was given to unlearned men. I mean, these men, you know, they weren't real bright, you know, in worldly terms, but even they were doing miracles. So in Matthew 28, I'll start in verse 18, it says, "And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So as we read the New Testament, we have the disciples, we have their witness of Yeshua, of the things that he did, the things that he said, the things that he told us to do. He instructed them to teach the people of that time. And so as we read in 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Shaul there, he says that these things were written for our example, for our admonition. And so we're carrying on that tradition there that was handed down to them by the Master. So teaching also is a job. You have teaching, you have musicians, you know, and you have different positions, you know, in the body of Messiah. You have the women, they have a tough task. You know, they take care of the kids, they take care of the husbands. Indirectly, they take care of the other brothers, you know, and then they cook, you know, and a lot of them, you know, they work outside also. So it's a tough task because, you know, for some men, especially for myself, you know, I don't like to cook. I don't know how to cook that well. You know, I don't like to do certain things that I have to do in my house, you know. And so it's only because the way I was raised, you know, around my sister. So they did a lot of these things, but that was because my stepmom was preparing them so that when they had husbands, they knew how to take care of them. So that was a good thing that she did there. So the message is clear. You know, we've been given the task of teaching the truth. We can best teach by example. Now, in the scheme of all this, Yahweh judging us through Yeshua, not only were we just given the truth, we were given more than that in the form of talents. We like to call some people a jack of all trades. You know, some people that we see, they do different things. But not only that, they do all the different things. They do them all effectively. And so, you know, that's a blessing to watch somebody that knows how to do different things. For instance, in some scriptures, we saw that Kepha, or Peter, he was a fisherman. Then he became a fisher of men, you know, by his preaching. He reached a lot of people. We also see that he had some weaknesses that we can relate to, you know. And as I said before, we pray that Yahweh uses us to touch souls to repent. You know, that is something that we never like to come across in a way that we turn off people. You know, we like to touch other people, you know, by a word of kindness or a kind deed, so that, you know, when we preach to them about Yahweh, you know, they see that there's something special, you know, about his people. And we know also that the scriptures say that the word of Yahweh, it's going to accomplish his will one way or another. We have Shaul, or Paul. He was a tent maker. He was also an evangelist. The Messiah, he was a carpenter, a prophet, and more. You know, he was like a doctor also. He healed people. And so maybe we don't consider some of these things talents, but if we don't know how to do these things, then to us, you know, they would be a talent. You know, and when you know how to do something, it's like second nature to you, like, you know, waking up in the morning. So also we had Luke. He was a doctor. You know, he had to study for this, you know. So some things are, you know, like our trade, you know, what we do for a living. But you can also look at it as a talent. If you never did this before and Yahweh blessed you with it, once you came to his truth, you know, then you can build and you can help others. You can help them out to also learn how to do these things. Yeshua, he made his point. Let's turn in Matthew, back to Matthew 25, if you're still in Matthew. In the same way that a lot of times we'll take take an example to make a point. A parable in Matthew 25, we read on down from 14 to 30. We recognize this parable here is a parable of the talents. I'll begin in verse 14. It starts out, "For it is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability." So Yahweh recognizes our abilities, and then he gives us these talents so that we can use them. And the master here, he went on his journey. "Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But to the one who he gave 1, he went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 came up and brought 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, what you have is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the other who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the wicked servant into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So what we can get from this story is that, you know, if you have more, you know, and you use those talents, you'll be given more. But let's say you have a talent and you don't hide it. Let's say you have a talent and you hide it. You don't share it with the brothers. For instance, I went to school 2 times for electrical maintenance, and I could have been using this as a trade. But the way I see it, Abba had other things in mind, because then I entered into another field where basically I'm a servant to others. You know, I had to basically put myself in a position where I had to humble myself. You know, when you work in the hotel business, you're basically serving others outside and also those that are inside. You know, you have your, they call it internal and external customer. But anyway, so you can go to school, have all that schooling, have a degree, but if you're not working in the field, for instance, you know, you'll forget a lot of things. So I might still know how to connect the light bulb. You know, it's a simple thing, but, you know, a lot of the bigger things, a lot of for instance, if you don't study your scriptures, you'll forget a lot of scriptures, where they are. And when somebody asks you, you might need a concordance, you know, to look it up. So a lot of the theory, you'll forget a lot of that. And so there's an example there of, you know, I could have been using that talent maybe when they were building the assembly here, but because you forget certain things or you're working in another field, then, you know, Yahweh will give that talent to someone else. And so, you know, that's the way it works sometimes. But, you know, what we want to do is, you know, we want to ask Yahweh, you know, what can I do, you know, or how do I go about it? So when we come into the truth of the scriptures that Yahweh inspired, you know, we all would have at least 1 talent. I mean, if you came to Yahweh, you know, that in itself says a lot, because you repented, you recognize that something wasn't right. And so, you know, even if it's just being faithful and showing up for services, you know, every week to fellowship with the brothers, you know, that's a great thing. When you know that you come into service, you know you're going to see a certain person there every week. That person, you know, might be a person that lifts up your spirits. You know, this is a good thing. And for some, you know, that might not mean much, you know, but for others, that means a lot because we don't see each other every day, you know, maybe once a week or maybe during just the feast, you know, especially Tabernacles, we're always happy we see somebody we haven't seen in a whole year. That's a long time. A lot of things can happen in a year, as we all know. And also, let's say, for instance, you come in every week. You're hearing the word of Yahweh. The scripture says that faith comes by hearing the word of truth. And so this helps you because then you can remember things and you can share them with others. The scriptures speak to us about different talents and the requirement to use them. We also see from examples in the scriptures and even in our own lives that, you know, some have more than others. And there's no need to be ashamed if we're not the best or good at what somebody else has been blessed with. You know, we try, you know, to do things, and sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, you give me a guitar, I don't know how to play it. You know, I had a hard time learning how to read music. So, you know, I recognize, okay, I'm not good at it, then I better, you know, step aside, you know, and dedicate myself to something else, whatever, you know, that may be that can help. And so, you know, we build confidence, you know, by trying things, and if we succeed, then that's great. You know, we can see that even professionals, they practice every day, just like musicians. They practice every day, and then they go out, and guess what? They still make mistakes, you know, but they don't give up. They keep on trying. Let's take, you know, King David, for example. Here we have, I only wrote down a few things. He was a shepherd, a warrior, a king, a songwriter, and so on. You know, it also says, you know, that he was a prophet. So we read the Psalms. We sing his songs. You know, these are beautiful songs. Yahweh blessed this man tremendously. And so, you know, we can take his example that he was seeking Yahweh with his whole heart. You know, he had a humble heart. He was repentant, you know, and this is also something that humbles us. When we see someone that is great at many things and they're so humble about it, you know, and you could ask them questions, well, how do you do this and how do you do that, you know, and they can talk to you about it, because not everybody that has a lot of talents, they're not real nice about sharing their knowledge, you know, or maybe they might be a person that's quiet and keeps to themselves. And so, you know, you have to try to ask them questions and see what you can get, you know, from them. You know, in a book, I was sent a book by an elder from the Congregación de Yahweh in Puerto Rico, and it's called El Maestro de la Escuela Biblica, and that means the teacher of the biblical school or scriptural school. There's a chapter in there, and it speaks of fulfill your own ministry. Let's go to Timothy. We'll go to 2 Timothy. We'll see here that the man, Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he was like a father to Timothy, and he was instructing him, you know, in the way that he should go and how he should carry himself. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 5, he's telling him, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And that word ministry there in the Greek is 1248. It's diakonia and comes from 1249, diakono, and that's the word for deacon. And we know that the office of a deacon, basically he's an assistant to the elders. And, you know, the deacon, basically, he's doing a lot of work out there in the field. So he's having to keep busy, you know, and make things easier for someone else. And that's not always an easy thing. The meaning for that word is attendance as a servant, aid, official service, especially of the teacher, minister, office, relief, and service. And so we see that, as I hear Brother Mike Bannock speak a lot, he speaks a lot of the musical ministry. He loves music, and this is a great thing. And, you know, we here, not too long ago, we were singing along to CDs. But now the brothers got together and they come together and they edify us, you know, when they just get up here and they play songs, you know, even before service, after service, you know, it helps us, because a lot of people would say that we were playing karaoke on Sabbath, you know, and so sometimes that's not a good thing, because we're Yahweh's people. We should be blessed with talents, but we all have to come together as a team. You know, for instance, if some of the brothers don't know how to play and they get up here, then they'll be off rhythm, you know, and then we won't enjoy the music as much. Let's go over to Second Chronicles. We'll see here that the Levites, you know, they didn't just offer up animal sacrifices. You know, they were blessed also with talents in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll take it from verses 25 to 30. And this is King David. He's in charge here. And it says here, then he stationed the Levites in the house of Yahweh with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet. For the commandment was from Yahweh through his prophets. And the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song to Yahweh also began with the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang and the trumpets sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to Yahweh with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. Same thing that we do today. We're not doing the animal offerings, but we're doing offerings to Yahweh to give him praise. And so we see the people here, the Levites, they were using the tunes of David the same way that we do. And so here's a talent. They're being blessed. They're helping the assembly. They're helping the people there, you know, to enjoy the worship more, you know, to be edified. Serving is also a talent. This is not an easy talent. It's not easy for us to serve because we have to humble ourselves. We have to, you know, be obedient to someone else. We have to help someone else. We have to do as the scripture said. We have to put them first above us. A lot of times we'd rather be served than serve. But we know the words of the Messiah. He said he came to serve, not to be served. And if anybody should be served, it should have been him. Over in Exodus, if you want to turn there, 24, verse 13, we see this man, Hosea, or Joshua. It says here, you know, when Moses went up to the mountain of Yahweh, you know, he brought him with. And it says here that, so Moses arose with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of Elohim. You can also use the word minister there. But as we read in the other scriptures in Matthew 25, the words slave and servant are like the same. They're one and the same. You know, when you're a servant to someone, you're like a slave. So like us, we're trying to serve Yahweh, so we're slaves to him. So we have to obey him. And so here we have that also Joshua, you know, he was right there all the time when, you know, Moses was doing things. He was watching Moses. He was paying attention, and he was blessed. You know, when Moses was taken, Joshua had the duty of bringing the people in. This was a hard task. We know from reading scriptures that when the people were upset, they would complain, they would murmur to Moses. And indirectly, you know, they weren't really complaining to Moses. They were complaining to Yahweh. They were complaining about the way things were done. But here we have, just like a deacon would serve the elder, he's watching. He's watching what's being done. He's helping him. You know, he's basically doing all the dirty work. You know, we have Joshua here doing the same thing. And in a way, we do this here. You know, when you play an instrument, you're humbling yourself to help somebody else to enjoy the music, especially if you don't have a talent, you'll enjoy it all the more. So the question that we're asking is for us, you know, how do we use our talents for the benefit of the body of Mashiach, for the body of Messiah? You know, like the scripture said, we're supposed to fulfill our ministry. So whatever you're ministering in, you know, you're looking for ways. And so, like I said before, some say, I don't know my talent. I don't have a talent. You know, and usually, as the case is, a lot of things are easier said than done. You know, I remember when I used to have a shirt that said on it, so many things been said, but so little has been done. And a lot of times, you know, such is the case. You know, that's a true statement. You know, we all need help in different types of ways. We all cry out to Yahweh to help us. Help me in this, help me in that. You know, and so he expects of us, when he gives to us, to turn around and help others, you know, especially the sick, the afflicted. We have to try to help them, you know, some way. Some people, they would be happy just giving a little financial, you know, help to the assembly, but they can't because, you know, their situation. And so, for instance, you know, you go to a feast, you say to yourself, wow, I didn't really save up a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money, you know, but I try hard, you know, I made it to the feast. You know, I remember I went to a feast once, you know, I ran low on money, and two times during the feast, somebody gave me an envelope, you know, I opened it up and it was a blessing from Yahweh. So, you know, what can I say to that? You know, when you're faithful to Yahweh, he's going to help you out. You're going to enjoy the feast. You know, even if you have a couple of dollars, I remember a sister telling me, you know, if I have $2, that means you have a dollar. And so, you know, that's a good kind heart, you know, to have. Some of us, you know, we have a lot going on, you know, right now. It's summertime. Preparing for the feast, you know, that's a hard task. And also, when the feast is done, you know, how many people stick around, you know, to help out? You know, a lot of times, you know, only a few. And there's a lot of work that has to be done. We have to do it quick because other people are coming in behind us, you know, to enjoy the feast site. So let's look over at the scriptures that basically talk about the talents that are given to us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. These are the two basic scriptures that a lot of people look at. And they look at them and they say, you know, where are these things going on in the assembly? How come I don't see people prophesying, you know, giving prophecies and things like this? In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, and we saw that the Levites also had that talent of music, you know, that was their direction, that's what they had to do. We'll see here some of the gifts that Messiah gave to us, but also, you know, why are they given? So in verse 11 it says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of the Messiah. So, you know, if you're an evangelist, if you're a minister, you know, this is a talent that's given to you so that you can help others. But, you know, reading from this book that I was given, there's a certain way that ministers have to go about their business. They have to be careful in a lot of ways, and they're tempted in a lot of ways. You know, maybe you have an outside job, you know, or things of this nature. Maybe you have a lot of things going on. So you have to conduct yourself in a certain way. And being a teacher, that's not easy. You know, I'm learning that myself. Every time I have to come here and step up, you know, you have your nerves and you want to do your best, you know, to deliver Yahweh's word. We know from Moses that he wasn't a great speaker, but, you know, this man, he was a great man because he was a shepherd. So he had, you know, he had kind of like some experience when he had to deal with all these different characters, all these different people. He had a certain experience already, and it says he was learned, you know, in all the knowledge and wisdom of the Egyptians. So he had a nice background, but yet he didn't consider himself a great speaker. So it was hard for him to speak to the people. But even then, you know, Yahweh said, don't worry, I'll provide something for you. I'll provide someone for you that's going to help you. Also, Jeremiah was the same, you know, and Isaiah was the same. They're like, one said, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. The other said, I'm just a child. And he says, you know, you do what I say and do it the way I say it, you know, or otherwise you'll face the consequences. And so, you know, our calling is to help the body of Messiah. You know, this is, you know, what's being asked of us, especially now that the feast days are coming up. We have to put ourselves in that mind frame, you know, that we're going to the feast. We're going to definitely enjoy ourselves. We're going to have a good time. But sometimes Deacon Randy will approach you and ask you to do something. You might not want to do it. But, you know, you have to humble yourself and say, okay, well, I'll do the best that I can. If I don't know what I'm doing, I'll try my best. You know, and sometimes somebody else might ask you, you know, can I have your help? I need some help, you know, doing something. You know, can you stop what you're doing? Give me a hand. Or maybe they might ask you, can you explain this scripture here? You know, that's another way that you help people out. When you have maybe a scripture that's been on your mind for years and years, and even somebody, maybe they might not even point you to a scripture. They might give you an experience that they had, or they might put it to you in a way that it'll make you understand it and you'll appreciate it. And so, like, let's say, for instance, they're speaking on a topic. You already know about that topic. If you learned at least one thing, you took away a lot because it's something that you didn't know at that time. And so here's where Yahweh helps us out using different people. You know, he even helps us using children. We see how humble they are, you know, how innocent they are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We also see how happy children are, you know, when they're playing, they're having fun. You know, they don't have a lot of worries like we do. In 1 Corinthians 12 over here also, in verse 8 through 10, it talks about what I was saying earlier. It says here, let's start in verse 7, let's start in verse 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Master. And there are varieties of effects, but the same Elohim who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of the miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as it will. For even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one, so also is Messiah. And we saw that when the apostles were with Yahshua the Messiah, you even had one. He was in charge of the money. He was taking care of the money. We know that later on he betrayed him, but yet that was his task at that time. You know, so the different apostles were doing, you know, their different calling, their different ministry, you know, and whatever that was. Also there, it says in verse 18 that Yahweh placed each one in the body just as he has desired. So whatever you have to offer, Yahweh placed you there for that reason. But maybe just because you have one talent, you know, don't stop there. You can seek other talents. You can try. If you fail, then, you know, just maybe try at something else, or maybe just try to get even better at what you're good at, you know, whatever that may be. You know, maybe you're just good at serving people. Maybe it says in some scripture, you know, if a man is, you know, if he's good at having mercy, let him have mercy. If he's good at giving, let him give, you know, liberally. You know, whatever that he has, let him, you know, do it willingly, you know, with a humble heart, you know, with a happy heart. So once again, once you're in the body, the thing is to figure out ways that you can help. Because when they ask you those questions, you know, do you renounce the evil one? Do you take Yahshua as the Messiah? It says there, do you agree to help the body of Messiah? You have to answer yes. You have to answer in the affirmative. And then once you get immersed, then you have to carry that out. Because then it's like the message that we just heard a couple of weeks ago, keeping your promise. That's a promise that you made. You said you would help the body of Messiah. So you have to do it, because otherwise it's a sin to you. It also says in the book of James, it says there, that if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask in faith and it will be given to us. We see there in 1 Corinthians 12 that some are given wisdom. In Daniel 1:4, it says there that the king at that time, the king of Babylon, he was sinking the youth of Israel, those that had wisdom. It was for a certain reason. He wanted to use them for a certain purpose. And we see that Daniel was blessed in interpreting dreams, just like Joseph. So, you know, this man did a lot of praying. He prayed 3 times a day. Some of us, we don't even pray that many times. And so we see that if you want to know what you can do, how you can do it, one of the things you have to do, you have to pray to Yahweh. That's almost automatic. The way that I look at it, we have married couples here, and I'll just put this out there. Let's say, you know, you live together, right? Let's say a week goes by. Let's say you only speak once a week. And that's like when you come to Yahweh, you're only praying once a day. If you only talk to your spouse once a day, you see each other. You know, when you get to the end of the week, it's like you almost don't even know each other. You know, what kind of relationship, you know, are we having with Yahweh? You know, communication, you know, that's what we need. And so that's what we're asking Yahweh. What can we do? Someone came to me and said, hey, you know, touch on this topic. And so I'm trying my best, you know, to touch on these things. Maybe it'll touch somebody. Maybe it'll touch a nerve. Maybe it'll rebuke someone, even myself, especially me. Because a lot of times I don't feel like I do enough. I don't feel like I pray to Yahweh enough. And so we have to do this. We have to come to Yahweh. A lot of times also, not only do you have to pray, you have to fast to Yahweh. Maybe somebody is hurting, or maybe you want insight. You have to fast. And so if you never kept the Day of Atonement, you'll have a chance in September. You know, we got plenty of time to prepare for that. That's an awesome day. For some of us, it's real hard, you know, no food, no water, and it gets kind of tough. But just imagine a world without Yahweh. Just imagine where you don't pray to Yahweh at all. You know, you feel kind of dry, you know, empty, you know. And so this is the way that I put it to you. So just like casting out demons takes much faith and prayer, so it is when the elders pray over the sick. When the elders pray over the sick, we saw in some examples that when Yahshua healed some people, he told them, by faith you were healed. It was because Yahweh used Yahshua to heal them, but they had faith. They knew, like the lady said, you know, if I could just touch his garment, I know that I'll be healed. And so it was. She touched his garment. She was embarrassed. She didn't even want to say that she was the one who did it. So sometimes we're embarrassed too, but it doesn't matter. When you come to Yahweh, you open your heart. Nobody's looking. You can tell him whatever's on your mind. Basically, he already knows what you're going to tell him. So when he knows that you're asking for something and you're seeking him with a whole heart, sometimes the answer might be no, but that's also the way it is too, you know, because he has things that he's doing that might be different than what we have in our mind, the way we want them done. So also when you seek a talent, maybe we need help and we're asking each other, we're telling Yahweh, you know, how come we don't have enough people here to do the work that we need done? You know, we pray to Yahweh for that. You know, the moral is, if you have talents which will edify the body and help, you know, further the work of Yahweh's truth, and it'll help, you know, those that are lacking in knowledge, please use your talents, because otherwise it may be given to the one with the 10. And so this is something that I would tell someone that has a lot of talents, you know, hey, I might only have one. I don't want that talent to be given to you, so I better go ahead and use it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. We'll read there what the Messiah is saying to us in Matthew chapter 9. I got verses. Let's see here. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. And we read through this whole chapter. You know, Yahshua's curing diseases. And he had real strong faith because he prayed much. He prayed, I mean, daily. He prayed to Yahweh. That's why this man was strong. That's why he's so great. He knows what it requires because he was with Yahweh. He sat next to Yahweh. He knows what Yahweh requires. And, you know, he's calling us to serve, just like in this chapter, he called Matthew. He told Matthew, hey, come follow me. You know, he also tells, you know, the Pharisees of a time when his followers were fast. The Pharisees were asking him, how come your apostles don't fast? He says, you know, when I'm gone, when the bridegroom is gone, there's going to be that time, then they'll fast. You know, don't worry about it. You know, he also tells a blind man there that he healed him according to his faith. And also, he ends the chapter by telling us, you know, what we're seeing in our day and age. You know, there's a lot of work, but few capable to carry out the task. So, you know, to me, it's sinking in that I have to continually study to feed Yahweh's flock, being that Yahweh's flock, they already know a lot. And so a lot of things, they're not new to us, but, you know, we can still bless each other. And so, you know, for those that don't have a comprehension, you know, we're feeding them, we're helping them. And you know, the reason why I'm here delivering this message, I mean, Randy could have just went ahead and filled in, but, you know, Elder Allen, he's on a trip. We hope he had a safe trip, and we hope he's enjoying the site. But this is another reason. I remember last talk, I thought, well, I got 2 months till the next time I speak, but I said I better prepare just in case. And sure enough, when I see Allen, he says, hey, you want to speak for me next month? You know, and I said, oh, okay. So I had to get ready again, you know, to bring something to the table. So there in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, the Messiah tells the apostles, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the master of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So he's telling them, look, I gave you a job. You guys can accomplish certain, you know, parts of this job. But pray to Yahweh that he sends you help, because you're going to need help. You know, Moses needed help. The apostles here, we know that they needed help. It was only 12 that were specifically chosen, but there was more than that. And so even he tells them, ask the master of the harvest so that he'll send in more workers, you know. And so, you know, it's hard work doing a lot of different things, you know, playing music. If you're part of the band, you know, you have to do your preparation. If you're taking care of a family, and also, you know, maintaining a balance between work and worship, you know, that's not easy. Let's go over to Acts, and I don't have much more to share, but I hope that this little bit has helped. Over in Acts chapter 6, we see here that as the Messiah told them in the last scripture, pray, you know, that you can find more laborers for the harvest. Let's go from verses 1 all the way down to verse 8 in the book of Acts. It says here, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic, or the Greek Jews, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of Yahweh in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of Yahweh kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great signs among the people. And we know what happened to Stephen, how great his faith was. And we see here that not only did they choose any man, they chose men that were full of the Spirit, the men had wisdom. And it takes wisdom to recognize a man that has wisdom. But we also see here, they're doing like the Messiah said. They prayed to Yahweh. And they laid hands on them. And we see here that the teachers are recognizing, too, that, you know, we have our task of teaching. So, you know, let's pick somebody else that can help us out, you know, and then we'll be able to be more diligent in the teaching. Let's go now to Timothy. We see that it tells us in James, you know, that not everyone should be a teacher, because we get tempted in many ways, and then again, it's not an easy thing, teaching. But we'll see the apostle here, you know, he tells Timothy, you know, what he's supposed to do. In 1 Timothy 1 through 7, you know, we also see that the scripture says that the student should share what he learned with the teacher. So the stuff that we learn from the scriptures, we share with others, because we're all students. Just like the apostles share with us what they learned from the Messiah. We'll take 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, Paul, an apostle of Messiah, Yahshua, according to the commandment of Elohim, our Savior, and of Messiah Yahshua, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahweh the Father and Messiah Yahshua, our Master, I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia to remain at Ephesus in order that you may instruct men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and legends and endless genealogies, which will give rise to false speculations rather than the furthering the administration of Yahweh, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So the apostle here, he's telling Timothy, Timothy's young. And, you know, the apostle Paul recognized that older people might look at him and despise him just because he's young. But when I look at other people that are younger than me, they know a way lot more than I do. I have to respect that. You know, I can even take knowledge from them. You know, there's not a problem with respecting somebody that's younger than you that has a lot more knowledge, because Yahweh blessed them with that talent. And so we see here that he's telling Timothy, look, pay attention to what you're doing. Just pay attention to your teaching. You know, don't worry about other things, because we have people that are worrying about other things, you know, and so they're causing chaos and confusion in the assembly. And so it is, you know, we could pay sometimes, you know, too much attention to things that, you know, don't even apply, you know, to ourselves, or, you know, they don't have any business, you know, in the scriptures. And so, you know, we're told to focus, you know, and that is the job of a shepherd, you know, to focus on the flock, to take care of them, to watch over them, you know, watch what's going on. So we see the talents, speaking of by Yahshua, Shaul, and the others being employed, although sometimes they're not so obvious, but and again, we all need more help, you know, like Yahweh needs us to continually repent. That's the way it is, you know. The word is for us to help out and do our best. You know, we've seen in some scriptures, we saw some use their abilities, and then we saw another one bury their talent in the ground. And sometimes we say to ourselves, you know, what a shame, I have this talent, I'm not using it, you know. And we forget, you know, like for myself, you know, I forget the knowledge that I learned, you know, about, you know, electrical work and construction and so on. And so we need to pray, and we need to have faith. And we know that, you know, when we come to Yahweh, we can have faith that, I mean, if we pray for something, you know, he's going to deliver. It says in 1 John that if you pray according to his will, he's going to answer that prayer. So we don't have to be, you know, scared. And we know that sometimes it may take a while, you know, because Yahweh works at his own pace. You know, he doesn't give us that instant gratification a lot of times. You know, that's what we're used to in this country, everything, you know, right now. And so we need prayer, we need faith, we need to ask what our talents, as I said before, you know, we need, you know, Yahweh to help us use them effectively. We need to ask others to let us know if we have a talent that we ourselves we may not recognize. We need to be humble and have a servant attitude so that we can edify the body of Messiah and we can attain the stature of Yahshua the Messiah. Those are big shoes to fill. If you want big shoes to fill, those are definitely big shoes there. So let's turn for our last scripture. We're here already. 1 Timothy 4:14. And this is a word that we can all take to heart. Actually, I'll start in verse 13. You know, I read through this book of Timothy last night, and as you go through it, the Apostle Paul is steadily teaching Timothy. He's telling him, look, you know, take care to do this. Take care to do this. Be careful to do this. You know, I'm commanding you. I'm telling you. You're like my son. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm teaching you from experience. You know, look out for the flock. Help the flock. Dedicate yourself to the word of Yahweh so that, you know, in the end, it says that you will save yourself and those who hear you. Let's start in verse 11. Prescribe and teach these things, all those things that the Apostle Paul told him. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, and love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. And that's for all of us. Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Now, that might not be everybody's gift, but that's for the teachers there. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure your salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. The key there is do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. When you come to the body, you're given a gift, whether you know it or not. Especially knowing Yahweh's truth. That right there, that's a gift, especially if you didn't have it. It was given to you. Just like salvation, it's a gift. You can't earn it. Yahweh gives it to people. You know, we earn his favor. We do his will. We obey his commands. And so this is the message that I had for today. So may we seek Yahweh's face. May we seek his will. May we seek his friendship. And also, as the song says, all things are ready. You know, look for the next new moon and come to the feast. May Yahweh bless you and keep you.